Hi, Marked listeners. We're planning some exciting things for the future of the podcast, so we want to hear from you. Take our fun survey and give us all of your opinions about Marked to enter for a chance to win a Lifeway Women backpack filled with Bible studies and other great resources for diving into God's Word. To take the survey, go to lifewaywomen.com/podcast or click on the link in our show notes. We can't wait to hear from you. This is the Marked Podcast from Lifeway Women. Each episode, we'll talk about what God is doing, how He has and is marking each of us. We're so glad you've joined us today. And welcome to the Mark Podcast. I am Elizabeth Heineman. I'm here today with Caroline Saunders. Hello, Caroline.
Hey, Elizabeth.
I'm so excited because this episode marks the beginning of a little series that have with you. So this is our first episode, so we're going to get to know you, and then you're going to act as our co-host for the next four episodes after this.
Yes. So I'm so excited.
I'm so excited. We are like big Caroline Saunders fans around here, around Lifeway. And so when somebody said, Caroline could co-host, and I was like, yes. And everybody in the room was like, yes, Caroline,
oh,
of course.
Great.
Yeah, so we're so excited.
Yeah, this is really fun.
So we have you on. Before we get into the like what we're going to be talking about for the next 4 weeks, let's hear about you. Who is Caroline Saunders?
Who is Caroline? Well, okay, so I'm a person.
Yes.
I am a writer. I love to write. It's my favorite thing to do. I feel like if I didn't write, I would explode. It's just how I process the world.
Yeah.
I'm a Bible teacher. I'm a mom. I have three kids. I'm married to my husband, Luke. He's a pastor. We live in Hernando, Mississippi, and we love it there.
Mm-hmm.
We often go to a Mexican restaurant in an old Pizza Hut.
Love it.
And that's like our happy place. We love it there. So I feel like my day-to-day is just the kid thing. I have two like school-age kids and one almost to kindergarten. So we do like a half school, half homeschool thing with them, do lots of that stuff. And I just say whenever my people leave me alone, which is a little rare, but when they leave me alone, I'm writing because it's just my favorite thing to do.
I love that. And you have written a Bible study. You've written lots of things, but we're going to talk about the Bible study first. So you've written a Bible study for Lifeway Women called Come Home.
Yes.
Tell us about the Bible study.
Okay. So in this, we're tracing the theme of home through Scripture. Tracing God's promise of home through Scripture. So it's really exciting. You can see this stuff in the beginning in Genesis. You can take it all the way through to Revelation. And what's so beautiful about the idea of home is it's such a biblical idea. It's God's idea. But it's also something that impacts our everyday life all the time. There is not going to be a person that you can find who doesn't have some kind of very meaningful, either in a positive sense or a negative sense, about home. So it's extremely applicable. And so I'm really excited about this Bible study because I think that it's going to equip women to understand and experience God's story in a bigger way, but also to apply it to their own stories and their own lives, and maybe even apply it to the people in their lives and show some kind of level of hospitality of pointing other people to God's story of home.
Yes.
So I'm just really excited about it. It was so fun to write. It was so hard to write.
Okay.
But just like such an honor. I enjoyed it so much.
Yeah, I loved – so I got to sit in the writers' conference for this.
Yeah.
And I remember us just, like, tracing it, and everybody's like, oh, my goodness, and there's home there, too. And just seeing how it is a theme throughout all of Scripture is so cool. And I think it's a way of doing Bible study that might be new to some people. But once you start looking for something like that, like a theme like home or something – and we'll talk a little bit more about that later – but you kind of see all of these – themes in Scripture, and you can kind of see it. To me, it just always speaks of like God's sovereignty and how this He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Yes.
Like, and so, and home is one of the, I think it could be an attribute of God, like His homeness. Yes, I don't know if that's a word, but like I feel like I don't know.
When we don't have the right word, we make it up.
Yeah.
Because we need the right word, you know?
Yeah. And you're a writer, so I feel like
you can. I know. I'm like, sometimes we just got to make up the word. But yes. I think it's true, you know, like the first, God is the original homemaker.
Right.
And then we see the Bible ends with Jesus saying, behold, I'm coming soon. He's mm-hmm. coming to set up a new heaven and new earth for all God's people to be together. So home is a big, big part of God's story. And I think it's a big part of who God is. And so when we are longing for home, it actually makes a lot of sense.
Yes. So this may, you may have already answered this question, but I don't know if you have like a different, slightly different answer of the, why did you choose to write about home?
Okay. Well, this goes back to, there is a women's retreat that some friends and I put on mm-hmm. every year. And the way that we approach the content for this is every year on like the Friday night of the retreat, I present the big story of the Bible through a particular theme.
Okay.
And so I'm always reading through the Bible with a particular theme in mind. It's so fun for me. And then we have another teacher come in and they'll like zoom in on passages about that theme for the rest of our content. So it's kind of a unique way to approach God's word. And it's very narrative, very experiential.
Mm-hmm.
And so that has become a rhythm of how I study the Bible and how I teach the Bible. So I have lots of people who know that I do this. And one friend, her name's Caroline Cobb. She's a songwriter
mm-hmm.
and she writes songs about God's word. And so she's always thinking in that way. And you know, songwriters are like so deep. And so I had this one conversation with her in 2019 and she goes, you know what theme you should do is home. Ooh. And the second people say stuff to me and I'll be like, yeah, I'll think about it. But like, uh-huh. sometimes I'm like, no, I don't want to do your idea. You yeah. know, I'm like, I'm sure you understand being a content person, we get opinionated about what we want
yes.
to write about. But the second she said it, I was like, oh, my word. I was like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I was so thankful for that. So that's like October of 2019. Okay. So I knew when the calendar yes. flips over to 2020, I am digging in God's word for home,
mm-hmm.
which that's yeah. an interesting year to do such a thing.
Right, right.
But that's why. It's just part of my rhythm. And it was so powerful for me to read God's word with that idea in mind.
Yeah, and thinking through then what followed where we were all really thinking about home
yeah.
in a different way.
Yes.
But thinking about home a lot, like all the campaigns to stay home and yes. like what does that mean and
yes.
all of that. So that's very timely but very interesting.
I think it made me pay closer attention
yeah.
than maybe I would have otherwise because one – 2020 is just unique because we're trapped in our homes mm-hmm. and we're separated from people who feel like home to us.
Right.
So there's lots of pain with that. Mm-hmm. But that also, a poem is just so personal.
Yes.
And I just care. Like, I have studied a lot of themes in Scripture, but I think this would be the one that has been the most personal
mm.
because we just long for home. It's so tender. It's almost hard to talk about sometimes.
Yeah.
Or hard to put words to because it's such a sensation feeling at home.
Mm-hmm.
It's very experiential.
Yeah.
And so it was really challenging. And out of all the big stories that I have delivered, this was the one that was the most costly emotionally. Mm. And I'm like, wow, this is God's story, but I can feel it so deeply within my own yeah. story.
Yeah.
So
I think, like you were saying earlier, everybody kind of has thoughts and feelings and emotions that surround home, both positive and negative. And I think, too, of like the people, you mentioned people that are home to you. And I think there are places that are home
yeah.
that you may or may not have lived in. I don't know if you've ever experienced like traveling somewhere and being like, huh, this is a home.
I feel right at home.
Yeah. And I think that that's just such a cool thing to think about in relation to Scripture and then in relation to who God is. Like, He is that home for us
yeah.
And has been throughout history.
Yeah.
And you see that in the Bible over and over yes. again where He's like, I'm your home. I'm your home.
Yes.
And, I mean, He doesn't say it in those words, but
right.
essentially, I'm your home and I want to be home with you. Like, I want to be with you and home together.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's such a cool theme to trace throughout Scripture because it does teach you so much about God and
yes.
about His character, but also about all the people that have gone before us and all what our future is going to be, too.
Yeah. You know, one of the people, the psalm that I come back to a lot in the study is Psalm 90.
Mm-hmm.
And verse 1, it's attributed to Moses. And the first verse in the NLT is, translation uses the word home, which is why I use that one. But it says, Lord, through all generations, you have been our home.
Yeah.
But when you think about the fact that Moses said that, out of all the people who never had an experience of home, as we would understand it, that he's adopted at a very early age by a culture that is oppressing his people.
Right.
And then he has to flee from there at one point in wilderness and then promised land and through the wilderness and doesn't get to go into the promised land. I mean, so the question was like, what does Moses understand about God and about home that we don't understand?
Yeah.
And so that was kind of what I was trying to discover.
I love that. And I had not, I didn't realize that that was the translation of that psalm. That's so beautiful.
Yeah. I think ESV is like dwelling place. CSB, yeah. I think, is dwelling place, but NLT uses the word home.
I love it. I love it. Okay, and that's why it's important to, I think, look at different translations, because sometimes there's just like nuances in language that can reveal something.
Helps
about
you
us.
Get at the heart of the original word a little better.
Yeah. Okay, so you mentioned that you studied other theme, or you've traced other themes throughout Scripture. What are some other the other themes that you've traced?
Well, I think the first one I ever did was light.
Okay.
And I have done water, and I've done another one that was very special to me was covering, tracing themes of covering and exposure throughout the story. You know, the Bible starts with people who don't have any clothes on.
Right.
I'm like, that's interesting.
Yes. You know,
that was so fascinating. And that turned out to be very personal, too, because we all understand what it's like to feel naked and ashamed in a spiritual sense. And yet the story of the Bible is a story of a God who pursues the naked and ashamed and who covers them.
Yeah.
And then you think about the fact that Jesus was exposed and shamed on the cross to make a way for us to be covered. I mean, it's just so powerful. So that one was very close to my heart because I just think it spoke to some of my own longings of just wanting to feel covered and safe.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And then, I mean, I've done a lot. This year I'm doing the Word.
Okay. And I'm going to ask you something that's maybe a little bit nerdy, but I've kind of done this a little bit with, like, when I've done, unsuccessfully, I should say, reading plans throughout the Bible throughout the year, like reading the whole Bible, kind of like highlighting certain words. Is that kind of how you do it? How do you like actually trace a theme through the Bible?
Right now, I've done it different ways, but like currently what I'm doing is I have a fresh Bible.
Okay.
Okay. Which you don't have to do fresh. But the thing is, I really write a lot in my Bible, and sometimes I almost get distracted by my own words.
Yes.
I can't focus on God's word.
Well, I'll be like, what? Why did I write that there?
Right. And God's I'm like, sure that's not what you're supposed to look at right now.
You know. I'm like, I just wrote thermostat. And I'm like, what does that mean? And I'm sure in the moment it was like a really profound.
Like so deep,
but I'm thermostat. Like, yeah. I have no idea what it means now. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have this like new Bible and I picked out a color of highlighter that I had two of because I know it'll run out. Oh, and that was important to me.
Good call. Yeah.
Okay. And I'm highlighting anything that has to do with word.
Okay.
And then I'm writing things in the margin of little connections because if you're just thinking, like, for example, if you're tracing water, just highlighting the word water is not going to be sufficient. There's going to be, it's not just about the word, it's about the idea, the theme. So I am just typically leaning on a highlighter.
Okay.
But I've done it different ways where just every time I've read a chunk, I'm typing things up in a notes app or whatever. And I don't know that you can be that type A about it because it is a theme and it's very, and it's a story. It's not like, we're not doing math. We're like doing art,
right?
You know, in a way, a theme is like literature. So I think we have to sort of think, okay, I'm going to hold it a little loosely.
Right.
Because what it really is a means of meditation. And so what I'm really doing is I'm certainly trying to track it because I think it keeps me paying attention, but what I'm ultimately trying to do is have this theme be a meditation of my heart throughout the year, which it doesn't have to be a year. It doesn't have to be anything like that.
Right.
But just so it's something that I'm thinking about. So even when I'm listening to a sermon on Sundays, I'll notice things about the theme.
Yeah.
And so it just becomes a means of meditation.
I love that.
And it's really fun. So another thing I'll do besides highlighting is I'll write a little icon in the margin. Like for home, I did a little house in the margin. And I would just pay attention to where I did that.
So I've done that with like a little bit of light and I'll do a little sunshine or, you know, just like trying to note where it is. And I appreciate that you said that about like it's not always so type A because I was briefly thinking about tracing the word throughout the Bible, actually, weirdly enough.
Really?
It was that theme, yeah. And so I started, and I was reading through, and I was going to highlight every time God said something.
Totally.
But then I was like, this is too much, and I can't.
You're like, and technically in this whole thing.
right. But I was like, anytime it was like God said or the Lord commanded or whatever, I was like putting a little box around it. But then I was like, this is too much. Like, I don't.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, in Genesis, he says a lot,
which I
think was like, you know, letter of the law, but not the intent, where I was like, okay, maybe I need to like back off of highlighting this every single time.
Yeah.
But when it's like a certain kind of, I was kind of looking for all the times that God said something and then it happened, like the like word as creation, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. This is going really deep into this.
I know. I'm like, we could talk about this for a long time.
But yeah, so I think just like thinking through, okay, what exactly am I looking for? What kind of thing within the theme?
Yeah, because you can narrow it. Like one year I did the story of the name. And originally I thought it was going to be about all God's names. God has all these names.
Right.
But I ended up narrowing it down to be the divine name. Because when God is asked his name, this is what he says.
Yes.
And so that narrowing helped me trace it and get a lot more clarity on things. So sometimes if it's like, well, I've highlighted the entire Bible, it's like, well, let's narrow it down a little bit. Yeah.
I think that's really helpful for people as they're thinking about this in their own life. But what are some, like, why is it important, or what are some things that you learn through tracing a theme through the Bible?
Well, I think it just goes back to that idea of meditation. Meditation, I feel like, is a weird word. You know, the world has a definition for it. It's like emptying your mind. But we, as Christians, understand, we're like, well, no, I'm filling my mind with God's words and that kind of thing. But even still, it's like, practically speaking, I don't get what we're doing.
Right.
We're like, meditate on God's word. I'm like, okay. I have not often understood what we mean by that.
Yes.
But I've noticed me doing it. Through the theme. And I don't know if it's because that's just how my brain works. Like, anybody who's more of a, like, a literary mind, you're drawn to stories rather than facts or whatever. It's easy for my mind to contemplate those things.
Yeah.
And I think I learned this from the Bible Project, but there's a word, the word meditation in Hebrew, it's like hagah. I don't know really how you say it. I'm like, not.
It's probably very guttural.
Hebrew. Yes, but it's like a sound word. It's like onomatopoeia. Hebrew onomatopoeia.
Okay, great.
And it's often used talking about a animal over its prey, like, the murmurings that you do, which makes me laugh because my husband does this when something's delicious. He's not listening to me anymore. He's just going, you know?
It's like the,
Yes, he's just like, yummy, yummy, yummy is what he's saying. And something about that helps the Bible click a little bit for me, that I'm just supposed to savor it in my mind and be like, huh, it's a focus. It's a yumminess. It's like, let me think about this. Anything that you have ever noticed you're fascinated about and want to pay close attention to, you're meditating on that thing.
Yeah.
And so for me, a theme has just been a very helpful means of meditation, because I'll hear a song on the radio that that wouldn't seem like it would have anything to do with it. You know what song hit me so strongly about home is a song in Matilda, the musical.
Yeah.
When she, I think it's called This Is My House. And I'm telling you, when I thought of that through the lens of what I knew to be true about God and scripture, I almost cannot hear the song without crying.
I love that.
It's become so meaningful for me. And what I'm doing is I'm just meditating on God's promise of home.
Yeah.
And I'm like, Miss Honey is longing for home.
Yes.
And we should tell Miss Honey about Jesus or whatever, you know, but it's just so cool. It allows you to meditate on God's word in unexpected places.
I love that. I had a professor, and I'm sure he's not the only one that ever thought of this, but who called it marinating in God's word.
Yeah, that's good.
And he was, I don't even know if it may have started by an accidental like flub of what he was saying, but he was like, meditate. And then he was like, actually, that's, you know, pretty good. So I think of
let the marinations of my heart.
Yes.
Be pleasing to you, oh God.
I love it. What I'm soaking my heart in.
Yes.
Yes. I love that. Well, we get to talk a little bit more about the teaching videos and the location in a later episode. So that's a little teaser for people. But tell us a little bit about why that place is home to you.
So I mentioned this retreat that I do with two of my closest friends, and we create this retreat experience for local women in churches, and every year they come, and every year on Friday night I present the big story of the Bible. And what's going on with me personally behind the scenes of all this is some very significant disruption of my church and of my home. And yet God had called me to be faithful to this thing, even though it was very risky. It was like almost spiritually unsafe for me in times, or I just felt very unsettled. And when I look back on all those years and I understand that it began in a place where I wasn't safe and I wasn't at home and I thought I was going to lose my friends and I did lose my house and I lost my community and there's so many things that I lost. And yet God was building something. Mm. He had not abandoned me. I felt like in that season, God had just like forgotten about me, that his promises weren't for me. Like I'd slipped through the couch cushions and he lost me or whatever.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, he was doing something better and something more beautiful. And so that was part of why presenting the story of home originally in that place was so special, because I thought, I really do believe this. Like I have seen this happen. And then to be filming it in that place where I was able to have an audience of people that I got to personally invite who have been an extension of home for me in times when I didn't know that I would have that, I could barely stand it. I'm about to start crying too, but I was just like, God loves me. Mm. Like he has taken care of me. He has kept me safe when I did not think I would be safe. Yeah. And so it really has built so much trust in my heart for the Lord's promises and affection for him. And it makes the Moses thing make sense. Mm-hmm. Lord, through all generations, you have been our home. And I was just like, Lord, through all the years of this, you have been my home.
Yeah.
And you have given me this little expression of home that I get to enjoy here. And I'm just so grateful. It was really, really meaningful to do it in that spot.
I love that. And I've heard, I haven't been able to see the videos yet, but I've heard that they are beautiful.
Such a beautiful
place. Not only is it like a home place for you, but it's pretty, which is always like a fun bonus.
It helps. It always helps.
Yes. So I can't wait to see those videos and see that location, and knowing that it is like a home for you just makes it all the more special. And I think we'll be able to tell that when we watch the videos.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. So something that is unique about this study is you have poetry featured every week along with letters from your friends. So let's tell us about the letters first and we'll come back to the poetry. So you had your friends write letters about home. So tell us.
So part of the thing, because home is so personal, like what I'm doing in the study is I am tracing the big story. Like we're focusing on God's story, the meta narrative, focusing on scripture. And then I'm adding personal things in here and there, but there's so much to say.
Right.
That there's only so personal I can get in the teachings.
Right.
Although, just to be honest, they are so personal. Like God's word in this place is so personal to me. But what I wanted was to be able to have women speak into the lives of people who are going through various pain points in their stories of home. Because it is so personal.
Yeah.
And a lot of us have enjoyed beautiful things about our home that are glimmers of the home that God is building. But we also have all endured places where home wasn't what it was supposed to be. Somebody left who shouldn't have left. A place that should have been safe wasn't safe.
Right.
And I wanted godly women to be able to share how they have experienced God's promise of home in the context of those kinds of things. So that's what the letters are doing. The letters are women who love God, who have clung to his promises, telling other women, this is what the Lord has done for me. This is what I've learned in these places. And they don't say it like, none of them communicate in a way that's like, oh, here's a Band-Aid for this sad thing.
Right.
They're just saying like, it's real. When you get to the worst possible place, God's promises are real and they're for you and he hasn't forgotten you. And my story can help you remember that. So the letters are really wonderful.
Yes. And I love that you talked about like the variety that they provide because it is such a, like you said, I'm just reiterating what you said, but home is such a personal thing.
Yes.
And I think that helps us to all see ourselves in this story of scripture and home and just say, it's going to look different for you than it did for me. And I think having those other voices speak into
it felt really important.
Just help provide that like access point, I guess, is what I'm saying for the study. And like, hey, you may not resonate with Caroline's definition of home, but you can resonate with the longing. And here's how it played out in my life.
Right.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah.
And important. Okay, so you are a poet. I called you a poet at something that we were doing. You were like, I'm not a poet, but I'm like, you write poetry. You're a poet. So why was it important to include poems in the study?
Well, the thing I believe about poetry is it's sort of like verbal hospitality. Mm. There's a comfort that is extended to people when you say something in a poetic form versus prose or something, especially in a Bible study that's like, I'm teaching the things. Sometimes, I don't know, hopefully I'm not doing it in a way that's abrasive, no. But a poem is just, it just offers a really different dynamic. Mm-hmm. And I think part of the reason, Elizabeth, that I don't consider myself a poet, which, let me just forget it. If I write a poem, I'm a poet. It's not that serious. But a lot of poetry is very deep. Like, the words are dense and mm-hmm. have this really rich meaning. But I think that I write poetry in a way that's very simple.
Yeah.
In the way that you might write a kid's book. I'm trying to talk in a way.
And that is far more challenging than people think.
It is.
Yes.
And what I'm doing is I'm trying to just say something in a simple and comforting way. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I do it is because I've taught a lot of psalms. I love to teach a psalm. I love it. And typically at the end of teaching a psalm, I will have all the women stand up and we will say it together because it's sort of like the original context of a psalm, you know, it's like meant for the congregation.
Right.
And so there's something really powerful about saying it together. And I've noticed through doing that it is so special mm-hmm. for us to have somebody say a psalm over you or to say it with people. Mm-hmm. And it started making me think, there are ways I can offer that God would make a third of his word poetry.
Yeah.
It feels like it could be really meaningful to have some of my teaching involve poetry mm-hmm. just to care for the people and offer. Sometimes a poem can get in where something more didactic can't really get in.
Yeah.
So I think that's why I do it.
Yeah, I think it's similar to like song lyrics.
Yes, totally.
I mean, they are poetry essentially. Yes. But I think that's true. And I think I told you that I took a poetry class in college when we were talking about you not being a poet, you are a poet. And how that class taught me so much about writing prose because I love that you said that it's more hospitable than prose. I had never thought about it that way, but I think that's true. It kind of like speaks in a way to your heart in a different way than prose does. Because prose can be very like, here's the facts. Mm-hmm. But I think poetry, there's a little bit of like, we can make up words and we can make things rhyme. And even the fact that a lot of poetry rhymes, not all poems rhyme, but a lot of poetry rhymes. So you kind of like know what to expect.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit. I don't know. I love that. I love that thought about poetry.
And you know what? A lot of poets, it's an overflow of affection to write a poem. And I really care about this message and I care about this story. Mm-hmm. And so it felt like me being like, God, I love this. Mm. Like, I love, you know, it was me overflowing some affection for the Lord and for his story and trying to invite people into that.
Yeah.
I'm like, hey, I'm not really trying to teach you stuff so you know stuff.
Right.
I mean, that's fine. But I want this all to be a call to worship. Mm. And so I think it feels a little like that, like a call to worship.
Poetry definitely does that. And I think every word in a poem matters.
Yes.
And even though you said, like, you choose more simple words, I think that's even more important that it's understood. And there are a lot of poets that wrote in a way that we can't understand.
Yeah, well, that's what I don't get.
But there's also a lot of poets that have written, like, in very understandable, like, funny poems. And I think children's books, a lot of them are, like, my poetry professor was like, one of the best books ever written is Goodnight Moon. He said that people don't understand how hard that would have been to write.
Whoa.
And so he was like, it's challenging, but people think, oh, it's just a children's book. It's about like a kid going to bed. But he's like, no, the rhythm of the words and all this. And he could talk more intelligently about it than I can. But so I would say don't discount it because it's for kids, and don't discount it because it's simple, because that's, I think, even more challenging a lot of times to put those things. So speaking of, you have written children's books.
Yes.
And you've written for Lifeway Girls as well. So you've written for all the ages. Tell us what's different about those different kinds of writing. Why do you enjoy writing for all those different?
I love it. And the thing is, I have heard writing people say that it's important for a writer to like pick an audience and stick with an audience. Mm-hmm. And that has never resonated with me because in my normal life, I mean, I have elementary age and toddler age children in my home. Mm-hmm. I have women in my discipleship group. I teach a middle school writing class. I'm like, in my normal life, I'm adapting what I say based on who's listening. Mm-hmm. And it's actually really fun for me. I think this actually could go back to hospitality too, because part of hospitality is recognizing the other person. I'm paying attention to you. Mm-hmm. And so when I am writing for whatever age group, I'm like, I'm going to think about their brain, their development. What do they think is funny?
Yes.
What, where do they lose their attention? Where are they paying close attention? I love it. If when I'm teaching, I teach a writing class for middle schoolers. And when all the kids are looking at me and focused, I'm like, what am I doing right now?
Right.
Pay attention. Don't forget this, Caroline. This is a big deal.
Yes.
Versus when they're not paying attention. Mm-hmm. I love to think about that stuff. And so for me, that's part of the joy of writing is it's writers love to find the right word, but I also like to find the right word for the right person. Mm. And so what will resonate? Now, it's also really hard.
Yes.
Especially for a kid's book, because those were challenging because you have to find the exact right word that is theologically accurate and resonates with the kid. And honestly, that is not the same word sometimes.
No, no.
So it's really hard.
I saw this like board book in a store one time that was like little theologian, some kind of, I don't think it was that brand, but it was like an ABC book, but it was like, the J was for justification.
Right. And you're like,
and
wow.
The S was, and I was like, oh, this is for a special brand of parent. But they explained each one. I was like, I might want this for myself.
Right. The things I have learned from children's books.
I know. Simple and easy to understand. Yeah.
Yes. And, you know, people say like, actually, I'm reading C.S. Lewis's biography. Mm. I forget who wrote it. But there's a quote from C.S. Lewis that's like, if you cannot bring your deep thoughts into the vernacular, then you don't know them as well as you think you know
for it. For sure.
And he says it's so good for your own thinking to have to translate the thought into something needed for a different audience. Because, you know, he's like an academic, but he was trying to write a book like Mere Christianity for regulars, for normals.
Or like Narnia, you know, for
kids.
Yeah.
And to wrangle it down into those things, it's good for him as a thinker and it's good for the audience. Yeah. I just love trying to do that.
Yes.
And even when I mess up and I don't, it doesn't land, I really truly don't feel shame about it. I'm just like, because that I'm going, why did that not land? Mm-hmm. It's fun to think about it.
Yeah.
And how could I say it better next time?
Yeah. I think somebody, I don't know who said this first, but I've heard many people say, like, if you can't explain it to a 5-year-old, then you don't know it.
Totally.
And I think that's very true, but
there's a lot
many
we don't
things
know.
I can't explain to a 5-year-old. Like, I'll get myself into messes sometimes in, like, Sunday school or, like, different things, and I'll be like, does anyone – I remember specifically I was tutoring this little girl in reading one time, and we had to talk about opposites. And I was like, do you know what an opposite is? And she was like, no.
Yeah, and then great, I thought, me either, bye.
Yeah, I was like, how do you explain opposite without using the word opposite? And I just like sat there for several minutes and I was like, I don't know what this means either. So yes, it is fun to try to, it's a good exercise. It I ended is. Up saying like cold is not hot.
Yeah.
So it's
you have to use
not.
Examples to say,
Which I don't think she ever got it, but I was like, maybe your teacher, ask your teacher about this on Monday.
Yeah, ask somebody else.
Yeah.
Wow, that's funny.
Okay, Caroline, it has been such a delight, and we have 4 more episodes together, which I'm excited about, but I have to ask you the marked question.
Yeah.
So what is one thing that has marked you in your walk with Christ?
Well, I feel like now this is going to feel so obvious, but when I began to understand in a real way that the Bible is telling one story, that has been the most life-changing thing because, one, before that, I used to read the Bible because I wanted to keep God from being disappointed in me. Mm. I was, like, warding off his disappointment or his grumpiness towards me. I don't know. But the story, it just, oh, my goodness. It made me love reading God's word more.
Yeah.
And then there's so many opportunities for joy when you make new connections.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're reading about Jesus in the garden, but then you're thinking about Adam in the garden and what didn't happen in this garden and what did happen in this garden. And that
Are
kind of
do
stuff.
Do gardens next?
Well, maybe. I'm like, scratch what I'm doing. There's always something else.
Yes.
It's really exciting. So I think there's just, I feel very marked by that because God's story is in me in a way that it wouldn't have been otherwise and impacting my story in a way it wouldn't have been otherwise. And it's really my primary means of communication. Mm. Like when it counts, like there was this time when my son Greer, he is so tender and sweet. And if I'm upset, he is upset. He does not like for me to be sad. Well, my gut instinct is to be like, I'm not crying. I'm fine. Everything's fine. And just pretend like everything's fine. But God's story was in me And I was like, Hope for Greer is not a mom who never cries. Mm. Hope for Greer is a God who is going to return and wipe away every tear. Yeah. And so it's like in the fabric of my life that I'm like, Greer, I know I hate when you cry too. One day God is going to wipe away these tears. There will be no more reason to cry. Uh-huh. But until then, sometimes stuff is sad.
Yeah.
And sometimes I cry. So I just think that like carrying that story just continues to impact me over and over and over again.
Wow. That will be something that I'll carry with me as I read scripture. And I'm sure our listeners will too, as y'all take this home and start looking for themes. And as you read through your scripture, I do think it's a great way to like, you said, I think it helps you pay attention as you're reading.
Yes.
And especially like familiar stories that we've read a bunch of times before. I know I'm guilty of that where I'm like, yeah, I know what happens. And totally. So like looking for a theme can help me to just kind of pay attention and be focused.
That's right.
And so I hope that you listeners enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. And we will talk to you next week. Marked is a production of Lifeway Podcast, produced by Aaron Franklin. It's recorded at the Lifeway Podcast Studios and engineered by Donnie Gordon. Edited by William Hall with art by Leanne Dan. And I'm your host, Elizabeth Heineman. Meet me back here next week. If you want to join in on the conversation, you can find us on social media at Lifeway Women. Today's show notes will be posted at lifewaywomen.com/marked. If you enjoy the show, leave us a review.
Home should be a place where we feel at peace, where we can be ourselves, where we feel loved. For a lot of us, though, home is a place of heartache, hurt, and loneliness. As believers, Christ promises us an eternal home. But what does that actually look like? And how do we deal with our current homesickness? I recently wrote a Bible study called Come Home for Women, and I'm so excited that Come Home will also be available for teen girls. It's perfect for small groups, helps girls answer important questions, and gives us a richer understanding of what kind of home God's building for us. The release date for Come Home for teen girls is August 1st, but you can pre-order it now at lifeway.com/come home. Don't miss out on this opportunity to help girls belong and be loved. Again, you can pre-order it today at lifeway.com/come home.